Hey there, welcome back to She Speaks Life. I am so thrilled that you are here listening to today's episode. I want to extend to you an invitation to check out my published journal called Serenity. Calm your soul, strengthen your spirit. It is such a good resource to use in your quiet time, as this journal allows you to write your name within the scripture verse, providing this personal directive to take heed of the truth in your life. This journal covers 5 topics to choose from, with 2 weeks of scripture for each one for whatever season you are walking in, such as contentment, confidence, loneliness, hope, and peace. In addition, this journal includes these journal prompts and an activation prayer to release your faith in what you are relying on God to do in and through your life. So to purchase, just simply click the link below in the show notes, and it will take you to jamieelizabeth.com. You can go to my shop page, but while you're there, take the fun quiz that I have for you. You can find out what type of journaler you are, and if you don't journal at all, learn about the benefits of it. And if you take the quiz, you will receive a discount plus free shipping, because hey, who doesn't like a discount and free shipping? Okay, today I have with me Becky Beresford. She is an amazing woman and an author of She Believed He Could, So She Did, Trading Culture Lies for Christ-Centered Empowerment. We talk about how to step out of self-dependence and into a God dependence so that we can live in this freedom and confidence and courage and peace with the Lord. This is one of my favorite conversations, as we really just dismantle the cliche quotes we hear so often, not just in the world, but in Christianity, that don't align with the real truth from the gospel. So I can't wait for us to dive in. So here is my guest, Becky Beresford. Hey, Becky, welcome to She Speaks Life. I am so thrilled you are on here to share this message with us.
I'm so glad to be here, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
This message is so essential about stepping out of really the self-dependence that can cause this frustration and confusion, and especially this exhaustion. And to being a woman that is dependent on God, which delivers this ultimate freedom and this godly confidence and empowerment and peace, which we're all going to talk about. And I love the shift of thinking, because we put so much pressure on ourselves. Yeah. And we aren't enough, which we're going to dive in more in that. And I can't wait. But before we start, I would love for you to share, what is your ultimate favorite scripture verse and why? Because I know we can find so much about somebody just by asking, what is your life verse?
Yes. So my life verse is a passage. I'm a wordy person, so it would make sense. I'm like, I can't just pick one. But it's from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And that's the one that talks about, you know, knowing how wide and long and high and deep is God's love, and being rooted in his love, because that's what makes us strong. But when I started writing this book, the idea of being empowered by God, that is all over those verses. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. And so there's just so much in there that's freeing to my heart, because as a people pleaser, as someone who really likes to have the approval of other people, especially those I love, I can try to like do all the things to try to make them happy. Mm-hmm. But it's the spirit here that empowers us. So I don't have to do these things. I have to rely on Jesus and his work in me to do the things that he wants me to do too, not all the things that people pleaser Becky may want to do. But it's just such a great passage. Like, I feel like every time I read it, something new jumps out to me. So Ephesians is my book.
I love that because I can relate so much when it came to public speaking with me. It was, you know, what are others thinking while I'm talking? You know, it was just that you're wrapped into that man approval, whether you consciously think that or not. It's it's more of what others are thinking over, you know, I'm doing this for the Lord. And so when we recognize that, and we stop depending on ourselves and, you know, trying to look inward, and we look now outward and upward to the Lord to give us the words to say, to you know, walk us into that anointing that he gives us. It's so freeing because it's not anything we are doing, and our why becomes more of, you know, wanting to please God and saying yes and obedience to him and the calling that he puts on our heart, rather than having the approval or the permission of others or what are they thinking. Like it shouldn't even matter, right? We're about pleasing God and nobody else, right? So
it's so hard though to slip into that. And speaking is a thing that the Lord is still working in. Like I would rather sit behind the computer and type all day. Like even doing this podcast, I am like, okay, God, I hope I say the right thing. But it's exactly what you said. Like, why am I caring about that? You know, I need to care about what Jesus has done for me, and how even if I do not say the right thing and I mess up, which is very likely I may in this episode, God loves me the same. And when I was writing this book, I also started wrapping my identity around whether it would become a thing, whether it would be published. And the Lord had to take me to a very humbling spot with lots of rejections, lots of no's, to be like, even if you just wrote this for me, it was just between the two of us, or you wrote this for one person, would you be okay with that?
Yes.
So that my identity was not tied up in what I was doing again. And it's just, there's so many things in our life. Like it's not even just writing, being a mom, being a wife, working at the church, your job. Like, I just feel like the enemy can come in and try to tie our worth to things that are temporal, things that are going to let us down, things that are shaky, when really God and Jesus and what he's done on the cross is the only thing that's steady in our life. And so that's, I know it's a little tangent, but I'm just saying, I feel you with the speaking thing.
Yeah. And then he'll call you into more and more opportunities to speak. Yes. I mean, hello, calling, you know, me to be a podcaster. Okay. Yes. And all these other opportunities to share, because, you know, the enemy wants us so badly to be silent and not use our voices. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But I want to first start off with your experience. Why this book? Tell us your own story with your personal experience with this message.
Yeah. Well, I have found that when God calls you to something, he's going to make you live it out. So with me, my husband and I, we've been married for 15 years. And for a good chunk of those years, it was a very, very hard marriage. And I had found myself trying to get the approval, trying to be a good enough wife, do this and that. And then you add in motherhood. And we have a special needs son. I have three boys and our oldest is autistic. And so it's motherhood compounded, because I have no idea how to make all three of my boys thrive. And it's a very different dynamic in our family. I don't know how to help my son when he has a meltdown. Sometimes he's just having one and I'm like, Lord, what do I do? I don't feel like I'm a good enough mom right now. I felt like I was failing in those areas. I felt like I was failing as a wife in multiple areas. And then you add in health issues, you add in financial strain, you add in all these different things were happening in our life. And in the midst of this, God called me to be a writer. And so he's like, okay, I want you to write this specific book, which I wrote a book that actually is not this book. And I pitched it for 3 years and got no's and rejections while all this family stuff and hard things were happening in my life. And my husband actually had bought me a sign that said she believed she could, so she did. And I think he got it from Hobby Lobby. And so I took that sign, and I think I was going to go to some conference and pitch to editors where I got rejections from. And so I was like, okay, God, you've called me to do this. I'm trying to believe that I can do this. I can do this with you. I can do this. But even just right there, you can kind of see there's like a little tension, like, I can do this with you. Right. I can do this. But there's like, okay, I got to just believe in myself. It's got to keep pushing forward. And so I kept getting the no's. And there came a point where I was like, I'm done writing. Like, I'm not going to do this anymore. It hurts too much to put your heart on the page and have people reject it. I'm not doing it anymore. And I looked at that sign and put it on my writing desk. And I just stared at it and I was like, it's wrong. You know, the Holy Spirit just gave me this revelation that the sign is wrong. And so I went and I got a permanent marker and I crossed off the S in she. And so now it said she believed he could. So she did. And I was like, that is the gospel. Here I am trying to do all these things in my life. I'm trying to be the savior of my own story, believe in myself enough, trying to be good enough for all these people that I love. And it was wearing me down. Like, I was exhausted and tired from trying to be the savior when that is Jesus's job. She believes he can. And so she does what he wants her to do in his strength, not in my strength.
Yeah.
And so I took that sign and I posted it online just as a look at this, you know, and the response that I got from women that have been feeling that same tension of like, okay, so society is telling us this. That phrase is everywhere. Look inside, find the power within. You can do hard things. You are enough. You be you. Speak your truth. Like all these things that are you, us, self-focused. Which means we have to rely on our self when things are failing. We have to rely on ourself to achieve and to succeed. And if it doesn't work, then it's our fault. It's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. So that's what society is saying to women. But those messages, as I was researching for this book, they have infiltrated the church. Mm-hmm. It's not just out there in the world. It is here from our pulpits.
Right.
And it's so sneaky because it's well-intentioned. I get the heart behind it. But ultimately, when we can't measure up, when we know that we're not enough, when I can't believe in myself enough to fix this situation, I'm going to feel like a failure. And that's when Satan's going to come in and he's going to shame us. He's going to make us feel like, well, of course you're not. You just need to step out from the scene. Like you said, he wants to silence us. And he wants to stop us from doing what God has for us to do. And also from just living in that freedom. Yeah. That comes from saying, I don't have to be the savior of my story. That is Jesus Christ's job. And I'm good with that. So I realized that I had to, like when I saw the response from women, I'm like, is this more than a post on Instagram? Is this more? And God's like, yeah, it's a book. And so that original book that he told me to write, which maybe will get published one day, who knows? There was one chapter called Dear Empowered Eve in it that was my favorite. And he's like, I want you to take that chapter and just flush it out and write an entire book on Christ-centered female empowerment. And so that is where the book came from. So again, I lived it / am living it. Like I never want to appear like I've got it all together, because I don't, or that I have arrived at this. This is a daily choice to rely on Christ instead of relying on ourselves. It's a daily decision. So that's where the book came.
It really is a daily, you know, renewing our minds daily, you know, not just a one and done thing. So we're going to dive deeper in this. And one of the things we often hear is, you are enough. And what you said is, we can do hard things. And And there's a lot, like you were saying, responsibility on ourselves. But in your book, you say you are not enough. So how does that encourage us with, you know, having this freedom of just knowing that it's not all on us? I know you shared a little bit about that, but if you want to go more into detail on that, that'd be great.
Yeah. So this one actually is interesting because I go through 7 different phrases in the first half of the book that are just common that we hear in culture. And I take it back mm-hmm. to the word and say, is this biblical? Is it even in the word?
Right.
And so that one was one that I told women all the time. I told myself that all the time. I'm enough. I'm enough. But it didn't matter how many times I said, I am enough. I didn't feel right. like I was enough. Like there's this disconnect. And what's interesting is we are enough in Christ. We're actually more than enough mm-hmm. in Christ. But that phrase, I am enough, does not have Jesus in it. And that's on purpose
right.
because the enemy wants mm-hmm. to come in and take Jesus out of the equation. And so right. I've gotten a lot of pushback on this one. A lot of women have said things like, well, I am enough because I am loved. I'm accepted. I'm perfectly and wonderfully made. You know, all these, I'm chosen. And I'm like, yes, those are actually all in the Bible. Those are all true. But when we say I am enough, we are saying the definition of enough in the Bible is I do not need anything else. And that includes mm-hmm. a savior. And that's heavy. Mm-hmm. Like that's a heavy statement.
Yeah.
And when I say you are not enough, I'm not meaning that in a negative way. I'm meaning that in a, mm-hmm. you don't have to be enough because Jesus is enough mm-hmm. for you. And that also means you don't have to be enough for your loved ones because Jesus is enough mm-hmm. for them. It's a very freeing statement because you can say, I can rely on God for everything that I'm not. Because in my weakness, he is mm-hmm. strong, right? And that's why I think Paul says he literally boasts about his weaknesses. Mm-hmm. He's not like, I'm enough. I'm laughing in my head because can you imagine the Apostle Paul walking around these different these different churches being like, listen, everyone, I have come here to say I am enough. Like it is literally nowhere in any of his letters. There, the mentioning of in Christ in the New Testament is incredible. It's always we're tied in Christ, We're united in Christ in what he's done. And because mm-hmm. of that fact, and it's a spiritual, eternal reality, we are more than enough in Jesus. And so I know this one is a sensitive one and it's chapter one. So I go in right off the bat, but it's one of the most important ones. So.
Yeah, no, I love it because what we're saying is like we are the source when we're saying I am enough, when we're saying we are enough in Christ, we're pointing to our source as to, well, why are we enough? Well, because we're in Christ, because of what Christ did for us. That's why we're enough. Well, where does that source come from? It doesn't come from us. It's not anything we did. It's what Christ did for us.
Yes.
So it kind of, you know, it doesn't make sense when people are trying to argue with you. It's like, you know, we didn't do anything to become enough. Jesus did it, right? And so that's our source. So, I love that from the get-go. Okay, so in your chapter, you say follow your king versus following your heart. And mm-hmm. I know we hear a lot of that, like, you know, follow your heart. But I think more and more people are catching on like, no, you know, don't follow your heart. But then we also read in scripture that, you know, God knows our heart's desires. And so how do we acknowledge that, you know, we do have desires in our heart? So how can we, you know, differentiate the two?
Right. So the heart is there's different mentions of the heart in the Bible. There's mentions that are positive mm-hmm. about it, and there's mentions that are not good about it. But a heart, like David's, a man after God's own heart, is a beautiful thing. So if our hearts are after what God wants, if our hearts are seeking, you know, Jesus, your will be done. I have this desire for X, Y, Z. Like for me, for example, I have three boys and I love them to pieces, but I've always wanted a daughter. And I went through schooling, discipleship schooling, like worked in ministry with women. And so it's kind of funny to me in a way that I have three sons who I love to pieces, but I don't know what I'm doing. Again, it's the whole, I have to rely on God, not myself here.
That's right.
But I have that desire that's still there. And so I lay that before the king and I say, you know, I have this desire, but I'm going to delight myself in you. And you're going to give me the desires that are aligned with your heart. You know, not just what I want, not what just makes me happy. It's what God wants for us. And so we can have those desires, but we lay them at the feet of Jesus. And we trust him and we know that he's going to comfort us and he's going to care for us when those desires, like still, we don't have a little girl yet. Maybe one day we will. I'm trusting him in that ache and in that desire that he's going to comfort. And he does. He comes in and is enough for me in those spots. And he's my healer. Yeah. He's my friend. So you can still have desires, but make sure they align with God's. And also a big thing is sometimes our desires do not align with the word. Like I can want something that I talk about, I believe it's that chapter, is marriages where a lot are ending because people are following their heart to greener pastures, or they've just fallen out of love. But that is not a biblical reason to end a relationship, a covenant with God, just because you're following your heart. You know, it's a commitment. Right. And so we have to take that kind of the following of our heart and take it to scripture and see if it aligns with God's desires, with God's heart, his plan. And so there's a lot within there because it's a very tricky thing if we follow our heart and just try to be happy, because that's not the goal of life, to be happy. Happy is temporary, but joy is eternal. And so I think God wants joy for us, and he knows us better than we know ourselves, and things that we think we need or might want, a lot of times those change within the day for me even, but he knows us better than we know ourselves. So he will give us the desires of our heart as they are aligned with his.
Yeah, it takes me to that verse, delight in him and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, first you're like delighting in him, you know? So what does that mean? Delight in the Lord. That's, you know, delighting in his word, you know, delighting in prayer, delighting in that intimacy with him, that encounter with him, the experience of walking in close relationship with him. And when you're doing that, you're not going to get unaligned. You're going to be aligned, right? And that's why he says, delight in me and I will give you the desires of your heart, because therefore it's aligned now, right? Because you're seeking after him first. And so good. Okay, let's move on to your quote where we often hear, believe in yourself. Share how this is not real empowerment. So I guess we could just start talking about this, you know, this female empowerment that we're, you know, hearing in the worldly culture nowadays. And, you know, once again, we're putting on ourselves, like believe in yourself. Expand on that. Share your thoughts on that.
So I think what I just want to clarify what I'm not saying. So I'm not saying don't look at yourself and say, well, I stink at everything. I'm not saying beat yourself up. I am saying that we can be proud of something that we've done without being prideful. And so within that chapter, I really wanted to talk about the idea of how it's a beautiful thing when we work hard and we're diligent, but we're dependent on God for the results. So we're diligent and dependent on God at the same time. When we start to kind of cross over that line and go into the, And it's so easy to do. I see myself doing this, you know, starting to be like, okay, well, I can take care of this. Oh, this person needs this. Oh, I can go take care of them. Oh, how about this person? Da, 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 da. You can start to, like, as a helper for me too, you can start to be like, okay, I need to be the savior of all these people's stories. I need to believe in my power, my strength, what I can do to help them. And it really kind of robs God of the glory of stepping in taking care of others. And it wasn't our job. And sometimes we even self-appoint ourselves to be the helper or to come to the rescue when Jesus is the deliverer. He's the rescue. And so just the idea of believing in yourself, I kind of tie it in with you can work hard, but ultimately the success, the outcomes, all of that is in God's court. And there's some times where you can try to believe in yourself as much as possible. You can do all the right things, but it's only God that's going to bring you through. That chapter, I cried a lot while writing because I was talking about losing my dog, Callie. And she's right here, so she's lifted up her head. But she ran away, and 3 days, like, no one saw her, no sighting. We did everything, like, went to all the shelters, put up all the signs. Even the neighborhood was helping us. It was really sweet to see the community there. Because as a special needs family for a while, we had felt kind of isolated. And so God used that even as a healing element for us. Like, we did all the things. We were diligent. But when it came down to it, like, only God was going to bring our dog back. And it was a total miracle that he did, like, 3 days later. It was the most poetic God thing. There was a rainbow where she had run away. And a few hours later, she showed up in that exact spot. And we ended up having a reunion. And it was just only God. I believe in my God, right? You believe in your God and what he can do. And he's capable of doing far more than anything we could think or imagine. That's also in Ephesians 3, my life verses, by the way. But it's just, it's so much better when we believe in him and not put the stress on ourselves of trying to do all the things.
Right. And I go back to that verse, he rewards those that seek him diligently. He rewards us, those that seek him diligently. I mean, it doesn't go unnoticed. He just doesn't go, oh, that's nice, little pat on the back, good job. Like, no, he rewards that. So if we're glorifying him and giving him all the credit for the things that we work hard for, like you're saying, that's where he wants us, because then he gets glorified and others see his miraculous ways, right? And so his name gets magnified through it all, so that ultimately we're, you know, here on earth to bring others to know him. That's, you know, what our purpose is here, to share who he is so that we can grow the kingdom. And so, I love everything you said. So let's hop on to the Holy Spirit empowering us women. Let's talk about a little bit of the role of the Holy Spirit and maybe even tie it into having this godly confidence. Sometimes people get a little confused, like, what is that? How can I practice that out? Because I think the Holy Spirit gives us that confidence.
For sure. So I just want us to kind of step back for a second. The Holy Spirit, I feel like he does not get enough credit. Like, we talk about the Father, we talk about Jesus, but like, the Holy Spirit is just as equal, just as important. And he's actually the one that is inside of us. The Bible also says that Jesus is, but that is the resurrection power of God living within our hearts. That is, I mean, if we sit there and let that soak in, you have that in you if you are a believer in Christ. So not only does he not leave us, God never leaves us, he gives us the ultimate source of power and empowerment and encouragement and comfort and help and truth. He's also called the Spirit of Truth. So this is our guide. He's the one that will help us when we are in need, or when we forget things. And even the word says that if we don't even know how to pray, the Holy Spirit is the one that prays for us. Like, we need him. Basically, we really need the Spirit.
Yes, he's our advocate. Yeah.
He is our advocate and all the things. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to godly confidence, I think I like to try to picture myself like as almost like there's a shining light coming out of me, the light of the world. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. In the spiritual world, like, we see the physical world, but in the spiritual world, believers are alive. Their spirits are alive, and they're connected to the Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, right? Can you imagine what that looks like? And then can you imagine when you walk into a room that's filled with darkness? Can you imagine when you go to Starbucks and you may be the only believer ordering a latte in that line, but in the spiritual sense, that light is stronger and brighter and greater than any darkness, anything that the enemy would have in that room, and he's in you. And that just right there, that's godly confidence, right? Like, the Spirit of God is in you. And I don't think we think about that enough. I know I don't. And if I did, he's not just with me, he's in me. If I really thought about that, that would change how I walk in a room. It would change how I interact with people. It would change how I talk to my kids, how I love my husband, you know, how I treat my dog. Like, it literally, it's very empowering just even knowing that the God of the universe lives inside of you.
Yeah, so good. I know. I mean, it just puts everything in perspective, right? Like, the same power that raised Jesus up, the same power that raised Lazarus up. I mean, we have that Holy Spirit power in us. And it's such a good reminder. I mean, we need to, like, post it on our, you know, by our bedside or on our wall every day. We need to see that and remind ourselves of that. That is so good. Okay, let's talk about how the enemy attacks specifically women, because you really talk about Eve a lot, which is so good because it brings us back to, you know, how God originally designed us women and what our role is and why the enemy is after women, you know, so harshly, you know, specifically we're such a target. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. If you think about it, why did he go after the woman first? Why did he go after Eve? Adam had been there, you know, but there's a specific target on Eve's back. And so Eve, the name Eve means life. Right? She's the ultimate, like, God creates life through her. And what's really cool, when I was reading how, like, when she was named, it was after, it wasn't when Adam originally met her, it was after the fall. And so death had entered the world, destruction, sin had entered the world. And then Adam looks at Eve and Adam names her life, because he sees that through her life, and even God says that there's redemption coming, right? Through her seed, Jesus, who is going to crush the head of the serpent that just tricked him. So there, Eve has a target on her back and a special hatred from the enemy, because he is death, he is darkness, he is destruction, right? He is deception. She is life. She is beauty. She is glory. She's the opposite of him. And maybe there's some jealousy there. You know, like, he used to be beautiful. A lot of scholars believe that Satan used to be the most glorious, beautiful of all the angels. And he fell. And he's definitely not that anymore. And now Eve takes the cake. So there's a special hatred, I believe, there. And then when God creates Eve, he says, we will make a helper for him. And so not only is she life, but the helper actually is Ezer, which means life savor. And that same word is used throughout scripture when God is coming to the rescue of his people, when he saves. Yeah. And so it's not just like Eve is a helper, like, you know, little servant doing a lot. Like she's, that is a good way to love people. Right. Please don't get me wrong.
We need to
don't
use some wrong. Figs.
Yes. Right. Figs out. Yeah. No, but like she is also a lifesaver. She is an extension of the warrior heart, the rescuing heart of God. And that's a threat too. So she's kind of like a double whammy. And so when I think about, if you look at the two, you're going to take out the life, right? Mm-hmm. In order to get to the,
right.
And Eve just operates as like life in the heart. And you just look at women. My husband and I kind of joke about this because we have such different decorating styles. Like in our home, if he decorated our home, it would look like an Apple store. Like everything's cold, everything's metal, white, you know? And I'm like, oh, it's so like cold and boring. And I don't want to live here. But when women come into the room, they bring life with them. They bring beauty. They bring just glory. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. So now our house does not look like an Apple store. I bring plants. Yes. I bring things that are alive.
There's color.
Yeah. It brings life. And so that's just a simple little example, but it's just through what women bring life to the world and not just their babies, just through their existence. Just the idea of life and what that could look like into the world.
Mm-hmm.
God is courageous. So when we feel like we are not brave, we don't have it. Guess what? We don't have to muster up the courage. We can once again lean into God's courage. And he will help us. Because so many times when he says, do not be afraid or discouraged, immediately after that, he talks about what he's going to do and who he is. Do not be, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, he's saying, I've got you. I'm with you. Yeah. You don't have to be scared.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you and I'm going to empower you to face whatever's coming.
Yeah.
Face the situation. And so that cultivates a holy courage, not a Becky-centered courage, a self-centered courage. It's a Christ-centered courage because it's in God and what he's going to do and how he's going to care for us and love us through the process.
So good. Yeah, it's always when do not be afraid, it's attached to a promise of what God can do and his character. And I learned that just a few years ago, actually, somebody pointed that out. And I'm like, I'm thumbing through all the do not be afraid, you know, do not fear. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, hello, there's always a promise attached to it. And I think what really helps me too is speaking the word, his promise over the specific situation out loud, you know, because the enemy can't read your thoughts. He can hear what you say. He can respond, you know, with actions. All he can see is what's going on, you know, out here. So when we actually say God's word out loud over a specific, he's gone, right? Just the sound, just you saying Jesus, he is out, you know, bye. So I really find that to be really, really like in my tool belt of just, you know, shouting it out, not just reading the scripture verse, which is great, but actually speaking it out and speaking it over whatever it is that I'm walking through. Okay. So the takeaway, I've loved this conversation so much. Can you share with us something that the listener can ponder on or take action in?
So I think one of the first things that we need to do when we're stepping from Christ or from self-centered empowerment to Christ-centered empowerment is surrender. And so my takeaway would be sit down with Jesus and be like, God, what am I holding on to? What's the thing that I am trying to take control of? What am I trying to be a savior in my life right now? And just focusing in on that and then releasing it to Jesus and surrender. It's such a freeing thing for our hearts and our souls. But it's the first step. We got to surrender. We got to be in a spirit of surrender with Jesus.
Yes, daily. I love that. Thank you so much, Becky, for coming on here. It's absolutely been a joy. Where can people get your book? When does it release? How can they connect with you? All the goodies you might be offering.
Yes. So you can connect with me at my website, BeckyBeresford.com. And my book is available the 5th of March, wherever books are sold. So you can go on Amazon, you can go Target, Christian Book, all the places. I think the best way to keep in touch with me would be to sign up to be a part of my Empowered Email Tribe. So you can go to my website and there's a sign up button at the top. I have lots of resources and there's going to be some fun updates coming up with the book release. So yeah, I'd love to connect more over there.
So awesome. I know this book is going to help so many. I absolutely loved it. I was just couldn't put it down. I look forward to, you know, reading. It was a page turner. I was just like, oh my gosh, I want to hear more. I want to hear more. And it's so empowering, and it's such sound doctrine too. You're just so right on with just being a Christ follower. And I love all your personal stories in there, and you've got even group discussion questions, so you can walk through this book with your Bible study ladies, your women at church groups, small groups at home. And it's so good. You're such a fantastic writer, and you really articulate well. So it's been a joy. It's been a delight. Thank you so much, Becky, for coming on here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. Did you know this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's J-A-Y-M-E. Elizabeth.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to my Instagram handle, Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.